All right, I'm visited today with J.D. Scholten, who is the Democratic contender running for the 4th District of Congress here in Northwest Iowa. And J.D., this is the second time around for you, I guess. Let's start out with share with us in general what is happening on the campaign. How has the campaign been proceeding?
Yeah, so much of our campaign last cycle and this cycle has been about getting out there to the people. And last cycle, we went to all 39 counties at least 3 times, a lot of them, like Plymouth County, probably a dozen times. This time, we went out to 38 of the 39 counties in the fall, and we did a Don't Forget About Us tour. And we went into towns of under 1,000 people to really get to know what's happening in some of these smaller towns, these forgotten towns. And so we did that, and then we were about to do another tour when the pandemic hit, and kind of that shut everything down. And so we've stayed kind of at home the last few months, but we've been building. And just a lot of our campaign, the things that you kind of don't see in the kind of behind-the-scenes type of stuff, we've been building. And we have an extremely large volunteer base that we just have been really trying to outreach and connect with people digitally as much as we have face-to-face. And so now we feel that with the last few months, and it seems like it's we can do this in a manageable way, that we're going to all 375 towns. We're still being safe because I'm meeting with so many people. I'm wearing a mask and trying to do the preventative measures. But so far, we've hit 25 towns, I believe, and it's been great. We've been in Woodbury, in Ida County, in Cherokee County, and then we'll be in Plymouth most of today.
Okay. Do you find the fact that this is your second time around, and you, of course, did not have a primary this year, that people are probably recognizing your name better now, that they're like, oh, yeah, I remember you from last election?
Yeah, and even just last night when I stayed at Willow Creek, the woman's like, I know your name somehow. I'm like, well, I'm running for Congress. And she's like, that's it. and you get a lot of those. And okay. So it's been nice because I'll say it's night and day compared to 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I don't think anybody really gave us much of a chance. And we ended up moving the needle 24 points, which is third most in the nation amongst all challengers. And the thing that I'm most proud of is we got 25,000 more votes than there are even Democrats in this district. And so it showed that we had a lot of people who were willing to listen to us. And I think we're right on quite a few issues that matter in the 4th district.
A lot of crossover votes.
Yep.
Okay. This year, of course, you're going up against Randy Feenstra, who had defeated Steve King in the primary. Your expectations of the campaign and the going against Feenstra. He's a state senator from Sioux County Hall, actually. Just kind of share with me things that you've been noticing or what's been happening on the campaign now that your opponent is Randy Feenstra instead of Steve King.
Yeah, I think it doesn't change a thing for us because we talk about what we're for and not just who we're against. And so every day I talk about fix, fight, and secure, which is fix health care, fight for an economy that works for everyone, and secure our democracy by not right now the special interests dictate it. And so whether it's cleaning up the lobbyists, cleaning up the money that all goes into all this, I think that's how we get back to a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so as far as just kind of the matchup, I think we match up better against Feenstra than we did against King, coming kind of from a sports background, knowing the – having a report or something like that, a scouting report or something. I just think we match up well against him. You look at the things that we're standing for when it comes to health care, he hasn't said anything. He doesn't have a plan on health care. When it comes to an economy that works for everyone, I want to enforce our antitrust laws to allow farmers to stay on their land and make a dime. I heard this stat last week, which really scares me, especially talking about dairy and how important dairy is here in Lamar's. Only 1 in 30 farms, current dairy farms, are expected to be around in 2036. That's 16 years. I mean, it's Wisconsin, it's Minnesota, it's Iowa. The dairy farms, we're losing them and losing them. And we need to stand up to them. We need to stand up to the monopolies that are squeezing out our farmers in every industry. And you look at the hog industry, 4 companies control 70% of the market share. And one of them is from China. You look at the beef industry, and four companies control 85% of the market share. And when they have that much power, they get to they're right. In the pandemic, we saw that the consumers are paying more than ever. The workers are getting the same amount they got paid when my family moved to Sioux City from Nevada in 1984. The Packers down there are getting the same wages back then. And then the other part of it is they're squeezing the farmers, and farmers are having a heck of a time right now.
What are some of the other issues that you've been hearing and or that you're concerned about that, you know, you talked about an economy that'll be, help out everyone and everything, but when visiting with constituents or potential constituents, voters in this area, what are some of the topics that come up to the top that are on their minds?
Well, in the last couple of days, we've been in more rural communities, and so we talked a lot about agriculture. And, I mean, $3, nobody's even getting $3 corn around where I've been traveling yet. And met with a couple ethanol plants yesterday, and in that industry, even before COVID and before people aren't driving as much, that the margins there were really, really shrinking. And we've seen a lot of different plants go idle, and just it's tough. It's tough when we have a administration and an EPA that is undercutting it and has picked big oil time and time again. And you see that there's another 50-plus those gap waivers that are still being talked about. That would just add on to how much billions of gallons that we've already lost. And so that means that there's more grain in the bin, and that means that prices are going to be suppressed. And so we're just it's amazing how difficult and depressed an agriculture economy we have right now. And there's a lot that needs to be done, but I think the first step in a lot of this is it's not even creating new laws, it's enforcing the laws that we have. The renewable fuel standard is law, and this administration is abusing it. And then you have the antitrust laws are in law, we're just not enforcing them. And so it's not like we have to do anything outside of it. And so when it comes to both of these things, this is I think I get a lot of crossover appeal because Chuck Grassley talks about a lot of this stuff. And so I think there's a lot of overlap between himself and myself when it comes to that.
Given the fact that the 4th District is such heavily dominated on agriculture, you talked about it right now, if elected, would you like to serve on a House Agriculture Committee?
That's my number one thing. And in fact, the whole reason I ended up running for Congress, if you had to pinpoint the moment that it started popping in my head or that snowballed into me running for Congress, was when I visited my grandma in 2016 for Thanksgiving, and she means the world to me. She was my inspiration in life and for the campaign, and the last thing she told me is take care of our farm. And our family farms north of Mason City outside of Lake Mills, and we have a friend who operates it. But, I mean, the thing that I don't think anyone's talking about is the average age of a farmer is north of 58 years old. Iowa State had a study that in the next 20 years, we're going to be transferring this land, about 60% of our land, and that's going to be the largest transfer of land, whether it's in the through generations or selling it to somebody else, that this country has ever seen. And so we really wonder who's going to be owning this land in a few years. And you see what's happening. If we don't do anything, and I feel like, especially coming out of this pandemic, it's so clear that we need change in our industry, that the pathway we're going is there's more foreign ownership. Like I mentioned with the beef industry, two of those four multinational monopolies are from Brazil. And in hogs, the influence of China, one in four hogs in Iowa and in the nation is owned by China. And there's more and more foreign influence, and the more and more foreign influence, then the less independence that the American farmer has. And that's my biggest thing. I feel that we can't just allow the status quo. We have had career politicians sell out the American worker and the American farmer, and we need folks like myself to get in there and shake things up a bit. And I feel that one of the biggest ways we can do that is elect a rural Democrat. And I know a lot of folks around here may not be Democrats, and I'm not asking you to be one. I'm asking you to vote for one.
Okay. All right. J.D., let's talk a little bit about, of course, obviously the pandemic, COVID. Congress has approved one stimulus package already. It's still being question. I mean, the Democrats and Republicans haven't come together, although President Trump has initiated an executive order, although many people question whether that's legal. But let's kind of continue on down the road. It's probably no surprise that COVID is still going to be a part of our livelihood up to the election. How's that going to affect the election? And with that, I guess we'll go with a two-part on this. Talk about how the COVID is going to, in your estimation, is going to affect the election. And then we'll talk about additional stimulus packages that may be needed for people.
Well, you know, if we had control of the virus, we wouldn't need additional packages. And I think that's the biggest thing is when you come from an economic standpoint of where what we're trying to do and how much this economy has been hurt, it's because we don't have control over it. And you look at the other nations that have just they've figured it out and we haven't. And I feel you can point a lot of this to the leadership and saying like, okay, we need to do this. And if we do this from this time to this time, then that should allow us to get to this. And I just feel like that was missing in a lot of this. For us personally and how the campaign, I think there's going to be a lot more vote by mail. But at the same time, we're hearing all these stories about the Postal Service being threatened right now. And the new Postmaster General I was reading up about it this morning and how much stock he has in the competition to the Postal Service, and that's not right. Like we're going into these small towns and we're in our 375 town every town tour, and what happens if the post office gets privatized? That means going to like Laramie and these small towns around here that they don't gets postal service. They're going to cut them out because they're too small. And people rely, I have a friend who's a vet, and he relies on the postal service to get him his medicine. In fact, my girlfriend, she lives in another state right now, and so that we send letters to each other. We also text and call, but it's nice to get a letter, you know. And that's how I always communicate with my grandma. And so the Postal Service is too important, especially when it comes to voting and everything, for it to be messed with. One of the things that we're trying to do is like what we're doing tonight with the rally. We have a rally at 6 o'clock tonight at the county fairgrounds here in Plymouth County, and doors open at 5:15, I believe. But we're going to allow folks, if they want to stay in their car, we're going to do a little radio broadcast. Only 300 feet, so we won't mess with KLEM. We're not trying to be competitors.
Don't fade us out.
but it's like a church parking lot. We see so many churches doing this right now, and so we thought, you know what, this would be a cool idea for people if they want to be safe, they want to come out and still campaign with us. And so we're going to do that at 6 o'clock tonight.
Okay. All right. Seeing in our time, I'll let you have the last word. I guess you talk about the campaign. What are some of the things that you're going to be doing tonight at the rally then, I guess?
Yeah, we have a speaker who's going to introduce me and then just talk about a lot of the same issues that we mentioned here today. And just like I say, that we can't allow the status quo. It's for especially in agriculture. We're getting so, especially going around to these communities, and we're seeing how they're different than when I used to go through these communities when I was a kid. And we need a new rural economy. And this is my vision, to be the epicenter of 21st century resilient agriculture. And that's my mission. And this all goes back to how I initially decided to run for Congress, or the first thought of doing something was my grandma telling me to protect our farm. And I want to protect all our farms.
Okay. All right.